Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. Our goal is that by listening to our podcast, you will be inspired to level up. With the help of some amazing guests, we'll be inspired by some inspirational success stories and find out how you can level up your business, your life, and your relationship with yourself. Because I know that by leveling up and balancing these three aspects of your life, you can make a difference and impact the lives around you. Level Up Podcast will be a series of interviews featuring successful professionals who are making a mark and a difference in their lives and others. They will share their incredible stories of how they did it, so you can be inspired and learn from the very best.
First of all, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're an extremely busy real estate agent, and you spoke with my agent, we are just trying to bring up stories that can inspire others in the industry. I'm in the lending side. I've been doing loans for over 16 years. So yes. I understand exactly what you guys go through because I deal with you guys on a daily basis. So obviously, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be here to take, you know, the opportunity to share with us what it is that you've been doing that is working. She gave me a couple of things and I'm like, oh my God, I was so impressed with what you've gone through. Army, real estate, top 4% of sales and flow. I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to hear your story. So first of all, thank you. And second of all, tell us a little bit about who is Joe.
Well, thank you. It's an absolute honor. I love doing these. And so it's just what a compliment, man. I am 42 years old. When I was in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is where I grew up, I was a bartender, and I was going to get out of bartending and I was going to go down to Cancun, Mexico and be a party guide. And my good friend laughed at me and said, hey, I've had my license now in real estate. I'm a really hard worker, but I'm not a great salesperson. Why don't we hook up together? We can be a team and we'll work together. So that was the beginning of my real estate career. I did 6 years at a wonderful brokerage, Edina Realty, up in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Then I joined the military for 10 years. I was an Arabic linguist, worked at the National Security Agency, had time in Afghanistan. And, you know, my girls were getting a little bit older and I kind of missed sales. I love business. And so I said, hey, I think 10 years is enough. I hung it up and came down here to Port St. Lucie, Florida. And now I've been doing this for 5 additional years down here. And we've got, I'm at eXp. So we've got an organization of, I think it's 50 some agents. And we've got a team here locally. We're in 7 or 8 different states. And now we're up to, you know, a transaction coordinator and we've got an ISA and we're just humming, man. It's awesome. It's fun.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And tell me, what do you got into the military then? You were already in sales. What got you to motivated to get into the military service? Or
yeah, country? I mean, if I'm honest.
Thank you again. Thank you for your service. I always so impressed you guys sacrificed so much. But tell me, what was that motivate you to get into that?
I was a partier. So I was a kid. I was single. I didn't have any kids. And I was making well into the 6 figures. And I was blowing more than I was making. And I was partying. I was staying up all night, drinking, chasing girls. And it really, you know, I had the awareness and thank God the, I don't know if I'd call it maturity because I couldn't handle it, but at least I saw what was going on. And I said, you're not going to fix this, buddy. And this is not a good path for you. My now wife's best friend had gotten home from a long deployment and we all went out with her and we had a great, you know, night of partying, woke up the next morning. And we spent 3 hours at breakfast and I was just grilling her on how does it work and why did you join and is it dangerous and how was your deployment and how much do you get paid? And it was like a week later, I went in and went to MEPS and signed up for the Army. I knew it was gonna, and it did, mature me and get me on the right path. And so it worked, right? It served its purpose.
You know what the interesting part, obviously service comes definitely with that because again, you're giving your time and you're putting yourself even, you know, in danger to be able to, you know, defend our country and then go out there and just be a service. But it's so interesting. How old were you when you joined?
27. So in my platoon in basic training, we had 50 in our platoon and I was the 3rd oldest at 27 years old. An old man.
for that type of environment, right?
Absolutely.
Obviously everybody is young, 18, 19, 20 year olds. And you're here, you are 27, decided to go in. That is awesome. I really admire that because again, and it is so true. Everybody that I met in the industry who have a background in service for some reason, you guys have this mentality and this discipline and this driven that I can't put words to it. I just admire that in you guys. And I know it has to do with the background of being in service in the military. Definitely, I think has a lot to do with it. So thank you for your service again. So you mentioned about kids. So you have kids?
I got two little girls, an 8-year-old and 11-year-old. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. Girls are so much fun.
Appreciate that.
I have two boys and one girl, and I'm telling you, girls are so much fun. However, those kids, those boys have also given me some stuff to think about. But it's
I think boys might be a little more physical work, but the girls are a little more emotional work.
Emotional, and they're just drama sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Exactly.
I have to say sometimes because again, but that's amazing. So you're saying you went back to, into the real estate. So you did real estate before you went into the military?
Yep. Six years. And okay. I've been back in it for five. Oh my gosh. It totals 11 years. I'll just say that.
11 years now, right? But you said you came back in 2019 and went in. So now it's been 5 years.
Yes.
Oh, yep. That's amazing. What do you think was been one of the reasons you got back into the industry? Was it something that you knew you wanted to go back into, an opportunity showed up? How did that present it to you?
You know, I joined again because I wanted the discipline and the structure and all that, and I got it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the beginning of your career, there's a lot of stuff to achieve. There's a lot of medals, a lot of awards, a lot of deployments, a lot of promotions that you can chase, and it's fun. And I like that. That's what excites me, right? Which is why I like sales. But the further into it you get, that kind of slows down. And also, the more rank you get, the more it becomes more political. I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that really turned me off was when we were going to deploy. I knew we were going to deploy 6 months out. And so I was given my team, and my leadership said, hey, you can plan your training calendar. Let me know what you're doing over the next 6 months. I want it to me by Monday. And if I sign off on it, you can take over for the next 6 months. So I did. And we were the guys who were going outside the wire fighting the actual combat missions. We were not staying on the nice, comfy, cozy, safe fob. So it was a very serious mission for me as a leader. And I looked at my guys like, you know, I don't care if you like me. You're coming home safe. And we're going to kill some bad guys out there. Like, that's the goal. And so I took it very seriously. And I remember we were out in the middle of the field. And I don't know how many days we were going to be out there. Say it was 2 weeks. And somebody had driven out there and come and grab me. And they said, Sergeant Rosen, you got to come back in with all your guys. And I said, for what? And they said, the Sergeant Major will tell you when you get in. And so I had gotten in and I went and met with the Sergeant Major. And I said, hey, I heard that you need me back, Sergeant Major. What's going on? And she said, the general's coming through in 2 days. We need you to clean the parking lot. And I was so upset that I saw all these soldiers sitting around doing nothing. Here we are on the field busting our asses to get going for an actual deployment. And because somebody wants to look good in front of a general, we're cleaning parking lots. And I just said, you know what? You can complain about this and it won't do anything. Or you can get out and you can go take the reins and own your own company and you can change people's lives and you can be as big and amazing as you want. And there's nothing holding you back. You can do anything you want, no limits. And that was just, at that point, that was incredibly attractive to me. So
that was a turning point for you then, when you saw that being done to you and your team, and you're like, there's no way that I want to continue to have someone being the one deciding on what I do and how I do it.
Not if those are the decisions they're going to make. No. Yeah.
Interesting. That is awesome. Well, and it is definitely true when you come into the business. So what advice would you give? Let's say you have a brand new agent joining EXP or the brokerage, and you've been through what you've been through. What would be advice that you'll give a brand new agent coming into the industry, knowing what you know today?
Yeah. So number one, you've got to find some people to surround yourself by who are committed to you and better than you, and they're going to give you time, right? Mm-hmm. And so even I had a lot of experience. I was successful. But when I came to my brokerage, I said, hey, I didn't even really care about the brokerage. I cared about the people. And they were doing what I wanted to do 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. And so they got me where I am in about 2 years. And it would have taken me probably 5 years to get there myself.
On your own, right? Exactly.
Correct. So being with, and people will say, so it's EXP? No, because you can go with a specific upline at EXP and it sucks. You go with another one, it's great. You go to Keller Williams, it's phenomenal. You go two cities down and that Keller Williams sucks. It's all about the people who are there helping you crush it. Now, of course, the money matters, but I will say for the most part, there's exceptions to what I'm about to say. All the brokerages are very close when it comes to splits and what you're actually going to make. You know, there's generally a couple different models, but they're all very similar now. Mm-hmm. Back when I started, there wasn't nearly the, transparency. So you didn't know what other brokerages were doing, but now you do. I think training is a big deal. You've got to get into some type of training. Do not rely on your broker, your team leader, whatever. If they do something, that's phenomenal. But this, getting out of the employee mindset is really tough to get people to do, right, mentally. You're no longer an employee. Your team leader is not going to drag you along. Your broker will let you fail. You have to pull yourself up and you have to be a success. And you're going to know in the first 90 days if you are, and it ain't going to be based on your closings. When you hit a hurdle or you don't know something, are you going to push through and find the answer? Or are you going to say, oh, real estate is really tough? If you say real estate is really tough, you might as well quit right now and go find a job, right? If you're saying, I am the solution finder, that's my job, you're going to be, I've been doing this 11 years and every single transaction, there's something I don't know the answer to and I got to figure it out, right? So you've got to have that. Tony Robbins always says your greatest resource is resourcefulness. You've got to be resourceful.
Yes, you have to be resourceful. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself lost very quickly.
Yeah. And I would say the last thing, one more thing I would add is just the, I don't know if it has to be a desire, but I'm going to say desire. The desire to move forward with massive action. So many agents will post daily on Facebook and they think I'm crushing it on Facebook. That's not how you crush it on Facebook. Or they'll think I started a YouTube channel. I'm putting one or two videos up a month. I'm crushing it. No, you're not crushing it. Or, hey, I do an open house every month. I'm crushing it. No, man, I literally just looked at a post of a guy who said in this month and next month, I'm doing 50 open houses. If you want the list, send it to me. That's massive action, right? So if you really want it to happen, go get it. Do not depend on anybody else, but you've got to have massive action in whatever it is you're doing, specifically prospecting.
Wow. I was going to tell you, and I think you nailed two things, and I want to just kind of maybe expand a little more on that. And it's training, because a lot of times people think that because they have worked in the workforce and they're like, oh, it's going to be, you know, the same. No, every industry, like for myself, lending, you just said something that I have always said to my team is like every transaction is different and there's always going to be something different. And whatever comes our way, we'll have to figure it out. And that's something that I learned through one of my coaches as well. Because again, not a transaction is going to be ever the same. There's always going to be something that'll show up, something will pop up, and you're like, oh, okay, now what do we do with this? And you don't get a learning experience, and you figure out a solution, you find a solution, or you look for someone to have the solution. I tell my people all the time, don't make up story. Don't make up anything. If you do not know the answer, be honest about, you know what? I don't know exactly how that is, but let me go find it for you. Or let me research this for you. So I think the most important thing, training, absolutely. And then mentorship, I think is so important in our industry. Some people think they're just going to get in and success is going to come and, you know, everything is going to be beautiful. And unfortunately, again, being in the business, you've been 11. I've been in this for 16 years now. Yeah. It's going to take more than just.
It looks. Yeah.
And again, I think it also, and I don't know, maybe just me in California, but sometimes some agents, do amazingly well and they drive the nice cars, they have the nice homes, they have the nice stuff. And then people see it, it's easy. Real estate, you can just get in and look at so-and-so, it's doing amazing. Yep. So it's going to be easy. Not until they get in, realize there is a lot more than just the nice cars and the nice clothes and the beautiful vacations. There's work involved and there's a lot that goes on. For you to have the success. So thank you for bringing those two things up. I think are amazingly important that we tell that our brand new agents are coming in. And the sky is the limit. Like there is definitely unlimited potential when it comes to how much they can achieve. But I also wanted to ask you about, you said surrounding yourselves. Who do you have? Do you have like a mastermind? Do you have a team? What do you typically do to keep yourself?
So there's a couple things. For my team, I want them around me because I'm focused on numbers and performance and tracking and metrics. So every single Monday we have a team meeting and that's exactly what we talk about is, hey, here's what we said we were going to do in our goal creating session in December. And here's where we're actually at based on our metrics, right? It keeps them accountable all the time. And it keeps slapping them in the face with either, hey, get your act together. Let's go. You need to make more calls. Or, hey, we commend you. We applaud you because you're kicking butt out there, right? Mm-hmm. So So for me, I try to be that for my guys. For me, I've got a guy here, Alex Haig, who is probably doing maybe double or close to double the business that I'm doing. And when I saw him doing that, I thought, and he was doing a lot more than double the business I was doing when I first met him. I said, I want to be doing that. So if I want to be doing that, go find a guy who's doing it and copy him. And the cool thing about EXP is he's making revenue share off of me, right? Off the EXP's portion of my money. So I don't have to pay him a dime. He's motivated by money to help me and give me time. And so he does. And we meet all the time. In fact, I'm missing a meeting right now to be with you that he is, I know, that he is holding with one of our other team leaders. Mm-hmm. And it is a bi-weekly, just like I do with my team, talking about our metrics. We're talking at a higher level about our metrics. I've got another guy named Carlos German up in Orlando. He's probably the best recruiter I've ever met. So he will work with me on recruiting. Then, you know, also on our upline, we got Jay Kinder. He was the number two agent at Coldwell Banker on the planet. He will pick up my phone call anytime. He'll do a Zoom with me. He has helped me with my listing presentation. The guy is incredible. And to be surrounded by people who, when you talk to them, there's no mental limits with them. Like they do not think there's nothing you cannot do for those guys. Right. So when you're talking with them, you can say the biggest thing on the planet and they don't blink an eye. They just say, sure. What's the plan? How are we going to execute this? And I think it's rare to find people who have that assurance in themselves because they've done it, but then they see that in you. And when they see that in you and that, you know, they've done it, you just start to believe that you can do it too. And so it builds confidence in you. It's so many layers of amazingness.
That is amazing. Well, thank you for sharing those pieces, because I know there's definitely a lot of us out there that sometimes we lose faith on it. Like, oh my God, what do I do? What I do? But then having access to people like that absolutely will help you keep thriving and doing amazing things.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about what is the thing that you're the most proud of? What are the things that you have accomplished at Bertha? This thing really big and pumped up, and I'm so happy I was able to accomplish that.
Are we talking about business?
Business, live, you tell me. Whatever you want to share with us, Joe.
I mean, by far the thing I'm most proud of, and this is probably the most boring answer I could have, but it's my kids and my wife. I mean, I've got the most amazing family. I've got an amazing house.
Hey, not boring, Joe, because that is what motivates us to go out and do what we do. Because if we don't have a clear why, and again, that's amazing why to have. Your kids, your wife, it's a beautiful thing to say. I don't think that's boring.
They're incredible. They're happy. They're healthy. They're beautiful. They're intelligent. And I am beyond spoiled.
That is amazing. Yeah. Any regrets that you have in the business and life that you said, I should not have done that? It's something I should have avoided. Any regrets that you can think of?
I will say when I was in Minnesota, because I was in my 20s, I was a little bit younger. I was more immature. I was not the most ethical agent. Did that make me a buck here and there? Sure. Do I feel good about it now? No, I don't like that old person. Now I've changed. I'm over, like, it's gone. It doesn't bother me. But I think that you'll learn over time, hopefully. I mean, that's the goal with maturity, that money's awesome. It solves a lot of problems. It creates a lot of peace in your life because you can pay your bills and everything else. But integrity matters more. And I understand that's a little bit easier to say once you've got some success and money under your belt, but it really is. The other one I would say is just not, and this was my first, you only got to learn this lesson once, not saving for taxes in retirement, right? If you don't save for taxes, they're coming due regardless. So you better save for them. And I think too, saving for retirement is just a no-brainer. I mean, now every single check, it's 15% goes to retirement, 20% goes to my taxes. And then there's a certain percentage, I want to say it's 10 or 12% that goes towards building like our leads and everything else, right? It pays for the business. And then we live off of the rest. And that's just how but you've got to have that mentality. And it's really hard when you're not making a lot of money. But dude, the tax man's coming no matter what. And you are going to be retired someday. You're going to have bad knees, bad hips. You're not going to be able to work. You won't have the energy, whatever it is. And if you haven't saved up, you're screwed. So you need to save old you from that demise.
What about investments? What is your take on investment? I we're in the real estate business, right? And sometimes it seems like we get so busy and so caught up and stuff, you know, that we get to buy, we have to experience. But what about investments? What did you take on investing in real estate?
So I am a huge Buffett fan. So all of my investments are based on Warren Buffett. But I will say, you know, I have owned a lot of real estate before, and it's you can make more off real estate than you can make off stocks, which is what I do, but it's a lot more time. It's a lot more risk. It's a lot more cash out of pocket. It's not as liquid. If you want the money, you got to sell the house, and selling the house takes some time. So for me, I love stocks.
Okay.
So nice. Everything and literally all my money, I mean, we get stocked through EXP. So yes, whatever stock I get through EXP, other than that, all my cash is in an S&P 500 index fund, either in a 401k, a Roth 401k, or a Roth IRA, all of it.
You touch on a subject that I think is important in our industry to prepare for retirement one day, because I think you said, we're all going to get there one day. It's just a matter of time, right? And so many times I have to sit down with people and they're like, oh my God, I didn't think of it. I did not plan well. And here I am a few years away from retirement. And what am I going to do? Right.
Yeah.
So it's definitely important that we educate our community that it is obviously you do make a lot of money, but start thinking about putting some of that away because you will need it. And it's better to be prepared than get there and have a shock and not know what we're going to do next. Because I always tell them, when you retire, you know, the money is going to be less. And that's Social Security. Yes. Sorry, but it's not going to be enough.
Exactly.
Especially with the lifestyle we get to develop as we do well, like you were saying, as you have a success. Yep. So definitely prepare. So thank you for sharing that. I think it's important that we tell that to our community and be aware of that. Anything you think is good to let the, again, especially again, this is going to go into the real estate space for our community. What do you think would be a good advice based on what you live through and what you're doing right now? So many agents have left the industry, as you know, because of what the market is doing nowadays. Many loan officers have done the same. But what advice will you give those that are still hanging in there and they're still trying to make it through, but are having a hard time? What encouragement would you give them?
Sure. So other than what I already said, I'll add three things. Number one, prospecting and follow-up. It should be part of your day every single day. At a minimum, you should be doing 2 hours. I think 3 to 4 is better. If you don't have appointments and you're a brand new agent or a struggling agent, you should be on the phones all day
long. Get on the phones, right?
And you would say, well, I don't like being on the phone. Cool. Do you like being hungry? Because that's what you're going to be, right? So you've got to find ways to get in front of people and have real estate conversations. It's all a numbers game. I'll tell you right now, I will take the crappiest agent who picks up their phone and makes 300 calls a day over the best new agent who won't pick up their phone. I'll take that crappy agent all day long and I'll crush you. So you got to do prospecting and follow up. The other thing is you really got to time block, right? You can do 15, 20 sales a year without time blocking. But once you get to 20, it's really hard to get over that unless you're really owning every minute of your day. Even your free time, put your free time on your, I'm going to call it a budget. Because it's a budget, just like for money, but it's a budget for your time, right? You've got to have that in there. If you don't budget your money, what happens? You blow it on dumb stuff. Absolutely. If you don't budget your time, the same thing happens, right? So budget. And the third thing is, and I know this sounds cheesy and nobody wants to do it because it sounds so corny, but you've got to get into a role play group or get a role play buddy. If nobody likes you, cool, then role play with yourself in the mirror. But you've got to role play.
Right?
Yeah. And listen, you can go on to YouTube, Google, whatever. Think of the top 10 buyer objections, the top 10 seller objections. Make a little script book and say, okay, listen to 5 guys who have a script for rates are too high. Prices are too high. I'm going to talk to my spouse and I'll get back to you. Maybe after the election. All of those things, put them in a script book. You don't know what to say? Go listen to 5 people on YouTube. Listen to which one you like the best, jot it down, and boom, you practice it every day. If you practice that script book for 15 minutes a day, you will be better than probably the top, or I'll say the bottom 80% of agents when it comes to communication, right? And the flow of a conversation, you'll be better than 80% of them within 6 months. If you don't do it, there's a good chance you're going to be a part of the 87% who don't make it. So,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Those are such a valuable lessons. And again, sometimes they hear them and it goes from one ear, comes out of the other one. And now you tap into something. There's so much. We have so much access to information. There's sometimes I feel like, you know, the YouTube you mentioned, for example, there's so many tools available that all they need to do is just go do the work. Yep. Go do the
100%.
Work. Yeah, 100%. Go do the work because there's so many tools. There are so many opportunities, you know, leaders like yourself, they're out there, you know, pouring their hearts out and giving yes. all the advice that they had to go through, the things that you have to figure out on your own one day. And now you're able to give it to someone, come in, repeat what you did and get the results in a faster, you know, way, obviously. But it's amazing. Thank you for sharing those. I remember reading the book of, what is it, Fanatic? Oh my gosh, I can't think of that.
It's about Fanatic Prospecting, isn't it?
Fanatic Prospecting. When you said prospecting, that book came to mind automatically. And it said, yeah. if you're not prospecting, you're not doing your business. You're not doing your job. If your job is sales, you must prospect. So thank you for reminder. That's amazing book. If anybody out there wants to read that book, I think it should be. One of my guests in the past mentioned that he made that a requirement for every agent that came into his team. They had to read that book for the first, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. That book had to be read. And if you finish, start all over for 3 consecutive months. And it got so drained into their, that they will not stop prospecting. So again, and those are the most successful agents that you get to see. You know, the ones that are actually to execute and go out and do what needs to be done to get the results. So thank you for those tips. I think our community should be able to benefit by just applying those three. I think they're gonna have an extra couple sales this year.
Absolutely.
And I know our time is coming. You did mention you were short and your time. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I know that we could go out for another easy 30, 40 minutes. I think we can just keep digging into some other things that we could give to our audience today. But I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you're extremely busy. And these lessons, I'm sure, going to make a difference in someone who's ready for them. Because I always feel like, you know, what do they say? The teacher will appear when the student is ready. There are times that we hear something once, twice, 3, 4, 5 times. And not until you're ready to digest that information, your brain will make a click and say, okay, now I'm ready for that.
100%.
And they'll take it and run with it, right?
Yeah.
But you probably heard the same thing many times before. But you were not ready for it. So I always said, when you're ready, things will just show up in your surroundings. So today was amazing to have you. Thank you.
Yeah, and if I can say hats off to you, because not everybody will put the time and effort to do something like this, and it helps the industry, it helps the agents. So thank you for doing all this. This is good stuff you're doing.
Thank you for listening to the Level Up Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are found, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in the show, you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Until next time, we hope you level up.